standing in his presence on holy ground. How many of you are thankful for his presence this morning? It's a presence that he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. A presence that you can feel in your car, on your job, in your bed, at your house, wherever you are. The presence, because it's a presence that lives inside of us. It's not something that just comes on us. It's something that comes out of us. Amen. So the presence of the Lord is something that comes out of us. It's something that's always present. It's something that, at the name of Jesus, you know, growing up a good old Pentecostal girl, we were always told, if you didn't know anything else, just say the name of Jesus. That there's power in the name of Jesus. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee has to bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord. I mean, sometimes I need a reminder that he is Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. I need a reminder that he's the Lord of our country. He's Lord of our homes. He is Lord. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. And so his presence is always with us. And I love coming together and gathering to feel his presence in the house. The freshness. There's a refreshing. There's something refreshing about coming together in corporate worship and feeling the anointing and the presence of the Lord corporately among us. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I'm thankful for that. Every now and then I'll get a song stuck in my head and it'll sing all week in my head. But then when I come to church, I can sing it out loud and just get that on my system, right? And get that song out there in worship and bless the Lord with that. So I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for all of you for being here. You know, when we think of November, we think of the time of the season of giving thanks, pausing and giving thanks and, a heart of gratefulness, an attitude of gratitude. I believe that a heart of gratefulness and an attitude of gratitude is a good therapy. You know, one of the ways to bring yourself out of a slump is to start to think about all the things that you're thankful for, right? And all the blessings that you have. And, you know, if we can look back over the last year and think of the difficulties that have happened in this year, but we've made it to November. And I can also look back over this year and think of all the good things that have happened in this year and all the positives and all the things that God has done for us in the midst of this season. And the gratefulness, you know, we started out in January of last year of 2020 talking about having 2020 vision and where our focus needs to be. And boy, have we had to realign our focus at times this year and really focus on God and the things that are profitable and those things that are good in our heart and our minds being on those things. Philippians said, think on these things, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are profitable, whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And we know that your attitude determines your altitude. Do you believe that? Amen. And that, you know, I've said before and shared many times that we are not just a thermometer, we are to be a thermostat. There's a difference in a thermometer and a thermostat, right? A thermometer can tell you the temperature in the room, but the thermostat has the ability to change it. And I believe as born-again believers of God that we have the ability to change atmospheres in the room. We have the ability to create a culture of godliness. We have the ability to create a culture of praise. We have the ability to create a culture of thanksgiving. And that we can speak life or death, and that the power of life and death is in the tongue. And how we speak and what we speak is powerful. Amen. And so, you know, what we say sometimes, we've talked over this last year, talked a lot about the gates of the city and the gates of Nehemiah, but our mouth is a gate. What we allow to come in, but what we allow to proceed out of our mouth, we have control over. Y'all are quiet today. Amen. And so we constantly remind ourselves to speak life, to speak positive. When I don't know anything else to speak, I can quote a scripture. I can speak to myself. Ephesians said, speaking to yourselves. See there, it's okay if you talk to yourself. Because sometimes you're the only person that understands you. Right? Sometimes I just got to talk to somebody on my level. I speak to myself, and then sometimes I answer myself. But Ephesians says I can do that. Speaking to yourself, what? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Sometimes I got to speak to myself. Say, self, hear the word of the Lord. Self, get up. Self. You know, David did it over and over. David did that so much in the Psalms. He would say, bless the Lord, O my soul. He would speak to his soul. Our soul is our mind, our psuche, our psyche. And he would say, soul, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Hallelujah. You cannot whine and come worship at the same time. Did you know that? You cannot praise and complain at the same time. I choose to rejoice. I choose to rejoice. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. The psalmist David would say, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted? Hope thou in the Lord. Get your hope up. Get your hope up. Hallelujah. And he would prophesy and declare to himself, and he would speak to himself, why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in the Lord. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. I trust him today. I trust him today. And so, in thinking about November being the season of harvest and the season of thankfulness and thanksgiving and our focus being not on what we don't have but what we do have. How many know there is a whole lot to be thankful for? They say instead of counting sheep when you can't sleep, instead of counting sheep, count your blessings. That works. So does quoting scripture. If I can't sleep at night, which rarely happens, thank you, Jesus. If I can't sleep or if I'm awakened in the night and I have a hard time sleeping, I start to quote scripture to myself. And I just focus. I change my mind on things. Or I start on the pews and I start praying for people in the pews, and I'll just go down the pew. So if you change pews, I might miss you somewhere. I don't know. Just kidding. But I go down the pews, and I pray for people. Lord, bless that house. Lord, heal that house. Lord, touch that relationship. Lord, bless those finances. Whatever it is, we get down and we pray. Pray. The scripture says you can pray without ceasing. Do you know that? You can be in an attitude of prayer everywhere you go. Man, they say, you know, there's no prayer in school. Oh, yes, there is, because I'm there, and I pray there on a daily basis. The power of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to talk about a season of harvest, but I want to ask you a question this morning, and then we'll deal with it a little bit. I want to ask you a question. Are you a harvester or a gleaner? There's a difference, right? Are you a harvester or are you a gleaner? Are you harvesting seed that you planted, or are you gleaning from somebody else's field? Now, there are many instances and things in the Bible of harvesting and gleaning, so I want to talk about that a little bit this morning, and I want to talk about it in the mentality of being a son versus a servant. How many know there's a difference between being a son and a servant? A son serves, but a servant is not a son. There's a difference. And so I want to talk about that a little bit this morning, but I told you a story before that I had a garden this year for the first time in a long time, we got to put out a garden. So we bought some property back that was some family property. And there was an old barn there that had been torn down years ago, and there was an old stone foundation. So we took all of that out, and we tilled up the ground, and we made this little garden patch. And my husband said, you can give it a try, but it ain't going to work. Because he said, I'm just going to tell you that the deer are going to eat the garden. But if you want to do it, we'll do it. I said, well, I want to do it. I want to try. So if the deer eat all the garden, then we'll eat the deer, and problem solved, right? So we got this. We're going to win this thing no matter what happens, right? And so we till up this ground, bless his heart, and he helps me do all of this, and we planted a garden, and we got vegetables out of the garden and had very little crop damage from deer. Thank you, Jesus. My husband said, that's just psychic Jesus powers. That's just the Holy Ghost, nothing but the Holy Ghost that protected that garden. I'm just telling you right now. And so we got to plant some vegetables, and we got to plant some seed in that garden, and we got to harvest. As a matter of fact, this week, I had the last of the tomatoes out of our garden still on the counter in November. And I said, thank you, Jesus, for that. What a blessing that is. I also was able to glean from some others who had gardens that brought me of the bounty of their garden. I got a watermelon from Henry and Joy. They specially hand-delivered to us, and it was big, and it was sweet, and it was wonderful, and different ones that Ike sent me his tomatoes several times this year because he grows some amazing tomatoes. And so I was a recipient of somebody else who had sowed some seed, and wow, what a blessing that is. When somebody says, I put some seed in the ground, I sowed, I reaped, and I want to share. I want to share the blessing of what I have. But not only did I get to glean, but I got to reap some of the seed that I planted. We planted cucumbers that went everywhere. I learned not to put your cucumbers so close to your tomatoes. I learned some things this year. I learned that I needed to plant more bigger canning size tomatoes than the little cherry tomatoes because they were like everywhere. I learned that the pumpkins that I planted that I thought were going to be pumpkins were pumpkins. And that's okay. They're adorable on my table, but I'm not going to get a pumpkin pie out of them, if you know what I mean. And I had some different kinds of tomatoes. I had peppers. My peppers did good. I had some seed that I just threw in my garden just to see if they would do anything that I didn't think was going to make it. And I talked to Henry and Joy about it. I said, I got a watermelon about this big around, but I'm afraid the season is going to run out before I can get that watermelon. So a frost was coming, and I cut off the watermelon, and I took it in the house, and the girls came like a day or two later, and Carolina said, Nana, we going to cut that watermelon? I said, well, yeah, we are. I said, I don't know if it's going to do anything because I pulled it kind of soon, and I had to get Henry and him to tutor me on when you pull the watermelon off the vine. So we cut open that watermelon, and I got pictures, and it was ripe, and Carolina ate 3/4 of that watermelon that night at my house. Now, in her defense, it was only about this big, but she ate about 3/4 of that watermelon, and we enjoyed that watermelon. That was seed that I cast into the ground, and I forgot about it and walked away, and lo and behold, when I come back later, there was fruit there. I don't know about you, but there have been many times in my life that I've had opportunity to cast a little bit of seed in the ground and walk away from that seed, knowing that I had sowed into good ground and asking God to bring increase, only to come back in another season. Come on, somebody, to come back in another season and say, God, you took some seed that was sown in the ground through faith, and you have brought fruit forth out of that seed. And sometimes I think that we can sow into, I am so much about sowing into this, sowing seed into the life of children and our young ones, and only to come back at another season and find out that that seed took root and there is fruit growing, and to have that seed come back and be a blessing to me.
I believe that when you cast your bread upon the waters, it will return to you after many days, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Amen. Hallelujah. And so in this garden that I planted the seeds, and I learned a lot. And I learned that there were some things that enemy, the pestilence would come in, and my squash did really good for a while, but then the bugs found it, and they started to bite it off, and I lost my squash plant. But I had got some squash off of there. And I thought about, even in pasturing and things like that, how it is to plant seeds, to foster it, to watch it grow, only to see something sneak in to the life of that plant and cause that plant to wither when it should be flourishing. How hard is it to plant seeds sometimes and watch it and hope that God will bring an increase back to that? Amen? And so what we do is we plant again, or we sow again. And the scripture talks about he who goes forth bearing precious seed will countless come again rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. How many know it might seem careless to take grocery money and put it in seed money? Right? Because grocery money is today, it's right now. But seed money is for the harvest. It's for a season. And being patient when we plant a seed and we sow a seed to watch God bring an increase to what we have put in the ground. Chuck was joking this morning. He had a sermon he was going to preach to us. I should give him the microphone. We got an amen up here. I am going to make him do it. You're right, in Jesus' name. And so we were talking about, you know, I told him I was going to put him down there with them preteens, with them kids, and let them teach him. He said, I'm going to tell them, if you get it, everybody go out, and whoever finds the biggest acorn in the woods, I'm going to give you a chocolate bar. He said, that'll just be my lesson. They can just go in the woods and hunt for acorns, you know. And so then we were talking about all the ways that that'll preach, you know. Because you can count the acorns on a tree, but you can't count the trees in an acorn. Let me say that again. You can count the acorns on the tree, but you can't count the trees in an acorn. Because that acorn has the ability to grow a tree that has the ability to reproduce itself again in acorns, which has the ability to reproduce itself again as trees. Do you understand what I'm saying? One grain of corn will bring you an ear of corn. See, that's the promise of God. That's the blessings of God. I can plant one grain of corn and I can get an ear of corn, which gives me that many more to plant or to sow. And so I love that the economy of the kingdom is given, it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, that we sow, he that soweth reapeth. And Jesus said of himself, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it will bring forth much fruit. How many know that when they buried Jesus, they did not know he was a seed? Come on, somebody. When they buried Jesus, they did not know that he was a seed and that he would reproduce himself many times over, and that we are recipients and we are the harvest and we are the fruitfulness of that act of planting. Hallelujah. And that we receive that harvest and we reap that harvest as sons. As the sons of the kingdom. How many know as sons, you are an heir to the kingdom. You are an heir to the promises of God. The promises of God are yes and amen. Amen. Now, if you don't know you're a son, you may live as a servant. Right? Go ahead and bring up Genesis for me, Lisa. I'll start there with my scripture and As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Go on to my next scripture. I'm going to ask you this morning, are we going to live as a servant or as a son? What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you an heir. How many of you believe this morning that you are an heir to the kingdom or the promises of God? Go ahead to Romans 8:14 through 17. Because those who are led by the Spirit are what? Sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. Somebody needs to hear that today, whether here or online. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. The scripture says that we are heirs, we are joint heirs with him, we are sons and not slaves, and that he has made us heirs of the kingdom of God, that we are sons, that we can live without sons, and that we've not received a spirit of fear, but a spirit of adoption whereby we call Papa God, Abba Father, the kind of father that gathers you in, the Papa God that draws you close. Amen. The scripture says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. And I don't know how many times I have prophesied that over myself through the years and prophesied that over other people. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind or clear thinking. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And so when I was thinking about this, the Lord was just speaking to me about, are we a harvester or are we a gleaner? Are we gleaning from the edges of the field or are we sowing a seed with purpose? Are we sowing seed with purpose? And there's so many ways to sow seed. I know a lot of times when we talk about sowing seed, we automatically go to money. And I believe in that. I believe in sowing in your tithe and in your giving and in your offerings. I believe that. I was taught that from a little girl. I'm so thankful for my training and teaching of that. But I'm not just talking about your giving and your sowing. But I'm talking about our acts of kindness that we sow, our acts of servanthood that we do. How many know a servant is different from a son, but a son serves? Yeah. Amen? When our children were growing up, they had to serve in our house. They had to serve as a part of our house. How many know they weren't slaves? They were sons. But a son, an immature son, the scripture says, doesn't differ much from a slave or a servant because they don't understand the economy of the house, right? So when my kids were little and they would wanted something and I would say, we don't really have money for that. And they would say, well, you got checks. Just write a check. And I say, yeah, I got checks, but the bank says I have to have money in the bank before I can write the checks. But how many know to an immature mind, if you got checks, you got money, right? And so that was the mindset of a child in the house. I remember the one time we were going out with the kids, the grandkids, for lunch, and I said something about, we were saying to them, said, you know, it costs money to do this kind of stuff, to go out for lunch. And Georgia looked at me, she said, it does? She never had connected or figured out in all those times that we were paying for that food. She thought you just went there and got that. And so she was shocked to find out. Now all of a sudden they're starting to count money, like, how much did that cost, Nana? Was that expensive? You know, or those kind of things. I mean, they're starting to have an understanding of the economy of the household, but they're still not getting my credit card or my checkbook. Because what is important to them right now are things that are not good for the economy of our kingdom. Come on, somebody. And so God entrusts us, and he trains us and teaches us and makes us responsible sons in the house. And how many know, as a son growing up, you sometimes resent having to be a part of that house? Like, I remember the years of having to can with my mom. And they have to, where we sat, we used to be our garden as kids. We were the only ones lived up here, and this was our garden. And I'd remember those snapping those beans and cutting the corn and doing the canning the tomatoes and all the work with that was. And swore that when I grew up, I was never going to have to do all that stuff again. And now, being thankful that I was trained those things and knowing how to do them and how important and how precious those things are to me. But I didn't realize as a kid that if we didn't can those things in a family of nine, that come wintertime, it was slim pickings for grocery on the table. So I had to grow up into a mature daughter in the house. I had to grow up and mature in my thinking to understand the economy of how a house is run. Amen? And so in the kingdom of God, we are sons, and we can live as sons, but if we don't understand the will of the Father and the purpose of the Father and the head of the house, then we will live in a state of servanthood, not realizing that I'm an heir and a joint heir with the Father. I do not have to live or settle for anything less than what Papa God says he has in store for me, that I can cash in. I understand a principle of reaping and sowing. I understand that I don't have to serve, I get to serve. I understand that I don't have to give, I'm blessed to give. I understand that I don't have to operate in the kingdom, I get the privilege of operating in a kingdom because the kingdom is operating in me. Amen. And I learned how to be a responsible adult. And we learned how to be a responsible son. And we learned how to, as I said, I learned how to sow seed. Now, those pumpkins that I talked to you about, when I planted in the garden, I didn't have any intention of making pumpkin pie out of them. I planted them for my grandkids to be able to come into my patch and gather those pumpkins for Halloween and Thanksgiving, and just, like, you know, to decorate the pumpkins. I want to tell you this morning, there's seed I have sowed in my life, not for my purpose, but for the generations in my house, for those who come along behind and say, I'm going to sow some seed. I'm not even sowing this seed for you. I'm sowing this seed for my kids. I'm sowing this seed for somebody else. I mean, you know, I was able to take fruits and vegetables out of my garden and bless other people with those things because of the bounty that God had blessed me with, because I understand the economy of the kingdom, that you, when you plant one seed, the bounty comes by being responsible. How many know I could have sat in my house, and I'm not if you don't grow a garden, it's okay. Understand what I'm saying. That if I went out to my garden and I wanted potatoes for supper, I would have been disappointed because I didn't plant any potatoes. You understand what I'm saying? Harvest does not come when you plant the seed. Harvest comes when you trust the process. I trusted that the soil and the water and the sun and all of those things would produce something later. for me. I mean, I didn't live off of that garden when I planted it, but I'm living off the fruit of it now. Come on, somebody. There are blessings in the kingdom that when we sow, when we give of our time, our talents, and our treasures, God gives back to us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. But we sow into it with the heart of receiving a servant, receiving a harvest. Hallelujah. I want to go to scripture this morning. I want to talk about two sons. Go ahead to Luke 15 for me, Lisa. Is a son or a daughter, we'll say it like that. Son, I mean, you know, son or a daughter. What is my responsibility in the kingdom? How can I serve? How can I shift from what I can get to what I can give? In the story of Luke 15, it's a story we know as the 11, Luke 15, 11. So Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off in a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when a son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you killed the fatted calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. It's a story we know as called the prodigal son. It talks about two sons in the house. And it says that the one son came and asked his father for his inheritance. And the father gave it to the younger son. What I submit to you this morning is this father had two sons, but they both lived like servants. Amen. They both lived like servants because neither one of them really truly accessed the father's house or accessed everything that the father had given to them. Both sons find themselves serving and slaving in father's house and not understanding or recognizing that they were sons. The immature son goes out and he squanders his living. He squanders, he wastes the investment of the kingdom, as so it seems. He wastes those things that the father has invested in him. The elder son stays in the house, but he still lives like a servant in the house. I want to tell you sometimes that we can live in Father's house and only ever see ourselves as a servant, as a slave. But when we understand that we're a son and know that we have access to everything that the Father has, he could have killed the fatted calf at any time and had a party, but he never accessed it. The younger son goes off and he squanders everything that he has. He finds himself feeding the pigs, which would, under the Jewish culture, would have been such a sense of a no-no. That was unclean. That was not kosher. It was so far out there. And he comes to himself and finds out, he said, the servants in my father's house have better than I do, and here I am feeding the pigs. And he comes to himself and he said, I'll go back to dad's house and I'll be a servant. I'll be as one of his servants. But the scripture tells us that when the father sees the son coming afar off, that the father meets the son on the way back in. And it's said that under Jewish culture, once that son would have shamed his father, that the community would have come out against that son, and they would have thrown down vessels with rocks in them and said, he's cut off, he's cut off, he's cut off from the village. But before anybody else could ever cut off the son, Papa sees that the son is coming, and he runs to him, and he embraces him, and he brings him back, and he brings him back into the house. Because here's the deal. The parable of the prodigal son is not just about the restoration of the prodigal. It's not just about dealing with the son, the elder son in the house. It's about what Papa lost. And when Papa makes an investment into his children, he will get a return on his children. When he sows a seed into his children, it might look like they go astray. It might look like they went another way. It may look like they're wasting their inheritance. But Papa stands and waits on the return of an investment to come back to him. And Papa says, what I lost, I found. What was dead is now alive, because I trust the seed that I sowed into my sons. I trust what I sowed into my children. I trust the inheritance that I placed inside him, that I would get a return on what I had invested. See, we can live in the house and be sons and say, I'm in Papa's house, but I'm not happy about it. Because all the elder son ever saw himself in Papa's house was as a servant. And he didn't recognize the sound of rejoicing and the party that was in the house when the younger son came home. I submit to you today that if we have a party and celebrate in Father's house, the sons will not want to leave. They'll not want to leave because they'll recognize the sound of rejoicing. They'll recognize the sound of worship. They'll recognize the sound of people lifting up their voice and rejoicing and harvest and party and celebration. Because we can come with a slave or a servant mentality and say, I got to go to church and I got to pay my tithes and I got to do all this. And I submit to you, if that is the mentality you're doing in, you will train a next generation to do it out of duty. But if you ever say, I'm going because I'm a son, I'm going because I'm anointed, I'm going because I'm an heir, I'm going because I have an inheritance, and I'm going because I have a right to worship, and I get to do it. I don't have to do it. I get to do it. Then you instill in the next generation, it's about time to praise the Lord. I said to Georgia, sitting here this morning, I said, Georgia, you ready to dance and praise this morning? She said, yes. She said, but I don't know what mommy's going to sing yet. And I said, well, I don't know yet either. She said, I kind of like it when it's a surprise, because I just never know what's going to happen, she said. How many know if we ever train them in worship that I get to come and I get to worship and I get to lift up the name of Jesus? You didn't come because you had to. You come because you're anointed to. You come because it's who you are. You come because it's what's in you. Hallelujah. It's not grievous to us, but it's an opportunity. I'm telling you, it's a powerful thing to get to gather together in the house of the Lord, and I don't take that lightly. I love the gathering of the saints. I love to serve. But I love to serve knowing I'm a son and I'm an heir and I'm a joint heir. I don't have to do it. I get to do it. And I get to do it every day. And I get to do it with you guys. And I get to do it as a part of a kingdom. We're just one part of a kingdom. Hallelujah. And I submit to you, if you have those that you have sowed into and invested to in your house and you're not seeing a return on it, don't quit peeking out the window, because they're coming back and God will bring forth the seed that you have planted. He said, train them up in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. And I prophesy and declare over this house that there have seeds that have been planted that you have not seen a return on yet. And I call forth seed. I call forth the blessing. I call forth children. I call forth marriages and spouses, and I call forth finances and things that have been planted that God, you anoint, you bring the water, you bring the increase, and when you do, it's a harvest and a bounty. And I'm going to tell you here today, I will not be just a gleaner. I've had the privilege of being a gleaner in my life, and it's wonderful, but I want to tell you, I'm a harvester. I want to sow a seed with purpose. I want to sow a seed with intent, because I want to see God bring an increase to the investments and the things I put into the ground. Amen? Hallelujah. You can't wait till you get to the time where you need investments to decide to start investing. How many of you got to invest now? Hallelujah. And I don't care what the circumstances look like. I don't care if you think the deer are going to eat it. I don't care if you think the squash bugs are going to take it down. I don't care what you think. Sow with purpose. Sow with purpose. And trust God to bring an increase into every area of your life. You don't know what else to do? Sow. You don't know what else to give? Sow. You don't know what else to operate in? Sow. God spoke to us very vividly, I believe, in this year. Stand with me this morning. In the year of 2020, he said to me, arise and build. Part of building is knowing how to sow, knowing where to start, and knowing where to finish. Hallelujah. How many know sowing doesn't bring instant gratification? It's something that comes in process of God working in your life, working in your children, working in your marriage, working in your job, working in every area of your life. Let's choose in this season to be a harvester. Let's choose in this season to be a sower of kindness, a sower of hope, a sower of faith, a sower of giving, and also a time of receiving in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. As Beth sings a worship song, let's just bless the Lord this morning. If you need special prayer this morning, if you need altar time, if you don't know Jesus and you want to come and receive him at this altar, we would love nothing better than to pray with you this morning. If you need prayer in an area of your life, we would love to pray with you this morning.